what they can teach us about what it means to follow Jesus, what they teach us about Jesus himself and his ability to change our lives. So these are case studies in discipleship. They're also case studies in the love and the power of Jesus Christ to bless and to change us if we will just give our lives to him and follow him completely. So the scripture passage that we're going to read, even though there are several places where Andrew is mentioned, comes out of John's gospel, where Andrew really comes out most clearly to us. The fourth gospel, John's gospel, chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. Let's give attention to God's word now. These are the words of God. One of the two who heard John, that is John the Baptist, speak and follow Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John, but you shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do believe this is your word, and we thank you for it. We pray for your Holy Spirit to come now and to help us not only to understand it, but to see Jesus in it and to be changed by it, to be equipped and encouraged. Lord, speak to us. We believe that you are the living God, and that you're alive and well, and that you speak through your word and by your spirit. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be receptive now, that you make us teachable, that you'd help us to sit under your word and listen for you in it. We pray that you'd be glorified as we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Winston Churchill, who was always good for a little quip, once said about a man that he was unimpressed with, he said, "This guy had none of the virtues that I despise and none of the vices that I admire." And that could be said of Andrew. He's not an exciting figure. You would not really be impressed with him if he was leading a church or a ministry. He was fairly ordinary. We don't hear much about him. He's in the background. He's quiet. But he makes a deep impact. And there's much to learn from him. Douglas Connolly has said, "I would like to have Andrew as a brother. If I had known Jesus' closest followers personally, I might have gone to Nathaniel for a Bible study or to Matthew for investment advice. But for a friend, a brother who would love me no matter what, I would have chosen Andrew." And that is so true when you study the person of Andrew and see who he was. He was a man of warm sympathies, most likely. He was a good friend. He was a humble man. He eventually becomes the patron saint of three different countries. That's how beloved Andrew is in the history of the church. He's the patron saint of Greece. He is the patron saint of Russia, and he is the patron saint of Scotland. And the lesson that we learn from Andrew's life is that what's most important in following Jesus is bringing others to him. The important thing in following Jesus is bringing others to him. Andrew is a background kind of character. And he takes second place even to his brother Peter. And yet his love for Jesus taught him and made him content to be in second place. And it also motivated him to bring others to Jesus. There's two things from his life that I think we ought to learn. And the first is that let's stop seeking the spotlight and play the supporting role. That really is one of the key characteristics of Andrew's life and ministry. He did not seek the spotlight because he thought that place really ultimately belonged to only one. And that one person was Jesus. Jesus is always to be in the spotlight of our lives, in the spotlight of the church and its ministries. No one else takes first place except Jesus. And Andrew was okay with playing second, third, fifth or last, as long as it meant that Jesus was known, that Jesus was loved, that Jesus was worshiped. So Andrew teaches us to stop seeking the spotlight, to stop grabbing for first place and seeking credit and approval and attention, and begin serving Jesus in whatever way that he has for us. Andrew learned from his interaction with Jesus. I don't believe it was just his personality. You know, some of us have personality traits or personality types that naturally lend themselves to being in the background. We don't like the spotlight, some of us, right? Thank God for that. And we're happy to serve in behind-the-scenes kinds of ways. But I think more than just it being the way that he was born and wired, there was something about his love for Jesus, his knowledge of who Jesus was, that made everything else take a back seat, including himself. And he didn't care who got the credit. He just wanted people to get Jesus. Can I say that again for all of us? We need to stop caring about who gets the credit and care more about who gets Jesus. Because everything else will fall into place if our one priority is to make Jesus known and to make Jesus the one that we love above all others. I'll tell you where I'm getting this out of the text. First of all, it's what's not in the text. Andrew is mentioned in the three lists of the apostles in the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, what are known as synoptic Gospels, or Gospels that are all told from a similar point of view. Andrew is just listed in passing, and he never shows up outside of the membership roster of the 12. And then, when he is listed, this is how he's listed and known: Andrew, Peter's brother. Kind of like when we were dating, it was Rob, Haley's boyfriend. All right? None of you laughed. It's okay. I'm okay with that. Don't pity me. It's fine. Andrew. Oh, you're Andrew, Simon's, Peter's brother. That was how he was known. And that was it. He was listed in the list of apostles and never really heard from again in those gospels. Think about that. He was one of the 12, a close companion of Jesus, an apostle. His name is going to be written on the foundation of the New Jerusalem when it comes down out of heaven. There it will be inscribed in stone, Andrew. And yet, we don't really hear much about him until John's gospel. And even then, notice in John's gospel, the passage we just read, it says that one of the two who heard John the Baptist speak and follow Jesus was Andrew. Here it is again. Simon Peter's brother, right? And you know what? I think Andrew was completely fine with that. God had given him the grace to play second fiddle, so to speak, to be second chair in the band, maybe even third or fourth chair. But he saw the value of it, and that's how he was able to play it and play it with such joy and faithfulness. I'm a musician, and in college, we played in the jazz band that had about 20 pieces in it, and you have the sax section, and you have behind that, the trombones, which is why I can't hear, because I had the trombones here and the drummers on this side, and then the trumpet section in the back, and you've got the rhythm section, and there are five saxophones usually. There are two tenors, two altos, and a baritone, and there's a first chair tenor and a second tenor. There's a first chair alto, second alto, and then baritone is its own thing at the bottom. You know, it never really shines. But if you want to play in a jazz band and have the most fun and play the best parts, and you'll be noticed if your part isn't there, play the baritone saxophone. Because the charts have some of the most amazing parts written for this low, you know what the baritone is, the thing that looks like this submarine, this huge giant instrument with this low voice. And if you were to take away all the parts of a band or all the parts of the orchestra, because all that really matters is the soloist or the first chair player, do you know how boring all music would be? The second and the third and the fourth parts are what create interest and depth and harmony. And that is something that Andrew knew very well. And he played second chair And he played it well in the church. And the Lord was glorified by it. The church was blessed. And unbelievers were won to the Lord. Andrew shows us what it is like to stop seeking the spotlight and pursuing places of prominence because maybe we believe that we deserve it more than others, something we all struggle with, amen? We all tend to think, right, that we deserve the better, that we're better than others. When we have virtues, we think they're better than others. And when others have the same virtues, we downplay them in our mind and say they're not as good as mine. And when we have sins or vices, we say, well, ours aren't as bad as others. And when others have the same sins and vices, we magnify them. And we talk about how we could do better if we were in that position. And so on and so forth. And we begin to wonder about how come he gets the credit or she gets the credit. And Andrew just silences all of that and says, who cares who gets the credit except Jesus? Who cares who gets the credit as long as others get Jesus? So Andrew is this humble guy who shows us that not only being in second place or third place, but also serving behind the scenes in ways that might not be noticed is really important to Jesus because Jesus notices. I think we've forgotten in our day what Jesus tried to teach in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, beware. He said, beware. Watch out. Be very guard against. This is an insidious, infective thing. Beware, Matthew 6 says, of practicing your righteousness before men, because then you have no reward from your heavenly Father. We have forgotten the secret of secrecy. Andrew probably went on mission trips where he did not post it on social media. Think about that. He went to Haiti and served and didn't grab a selfie with some poor kids. That was not what he was in it for. He knew that Jesus knew that he was serving him. And he knew that Jesus was worth more than anything else that anyone else could give him. And that in Jesus he had found, in Jesus, not in other things, he had found the friendship and approval and love and acceptance that made everyone else's just kind of pale in comparison to where Andrew didn't care what others thought about him because he knew that he was loved by Jesus and that because he was loved by Jesus, he was loved by God in the flesh. He didn't care what others thought because he knew Jesus' love. And he knew that what was worth seeking above everything else was Jesus and his kingdom. Show you where I'm getting this. John chapter 1, the same place. We see that Andrew in verse 41 says he first found his own brother after he finds Jesus. It says he first went and found his own brother and he went to him and said this, we have found the Messiah, which means Christ. You see, Andrew had found the Savior. The one, the missing piece, that thing that fills that hole in us that nothing else can fill, the one thing that could really fulfill all his hopes and aspirations for life, the one man who gave him true identity and a sense of purpose. And it doesn't matter what this person might say or think of Andrew, because he knew who he was in Jesus, and he knew who Jesus was. Andrew in the early church had a nickname, and it was a Greek word, protokletos, which just means proto, you've heard that, first, and kletos is called. So think of the humility that Andrew exhibited when he could have said, you know what, Peter, I was the one who found Jesus. I introduced you to him. I was the first disciple, right? I was following Jesus before it was cool. He was like the first hipster Christian. He said, you know, I could have said, look, I was there first. You guys all came later. I'm the one who introduced you. And now Peter gets to lead? And Jesus is like, yeah, Peter gets to lead. But Andrew, never, ever in the scriptures is it even hinted at that he had that attitude. Now, James and John, that's another issue, right? And they were even in the inner three, but that wasn't good enough. They want to be first and second, not second and third. And think about that for Andrew. His brother is in first place when the disciples, James and John, are second and third on the inner circle. And here the first man who found Jesus, along with John, and called others to him and began this movement, takes a supporting role in the background. But it was a role he was made to play. And he played it well. You play it, and play it well. And let God decide whatever role of prominence he might have for you. Now, some of us might not want to be in the spotlight, and God wants us to be. Be faithful still to him and follow wherever he calls. But some of you might say, I'm not in the spotlight, and I feel like I should be, and I don't understand that. Or I don't feel like anyone notices or encourages me. But Jesus is aware, and he notices, because as he promised to those who would work in secret and not to be seen, he says, your Father sees in secret, and he'll reward you. There is a special blessing that comes from serving in secret under the loving eyes of your Heavenly Father, who is pleased with your secret service. And I know that that is what sustained Andrew every day. Side note, that doesn't mean that we should withhold encouragement or acknowledgement or appreciation from one another for the service we see each other doing. There are people who will come to my office and they're struggling and they've been giving. This is a church plant. We are still a young church and we ask a lot of you and you all wear a lot of hats and sometimes the water doesn't get into the baptismal font. And you've been giving a lot, but it seems like people don't notice, but we do notice. And we ought to encourage each other and say, I see the way you serve. I see the way that you care and love and listen and give, and thank you for that. It's a blessing to me. Don't say, well, you know, Jesus said we shouldn't seek appreciation, so I shouldn't really share any with you, because you might get puffed up. I've had people tell me that, you know, I don't want your head to get big or anything, but that was a good sermon, thank you. You know, I'm like, don't worry, Jesus is in the full-time business of deflating my ego. I can assure you of that. And he is way better at it than you are, okay? I mean, he launches full assault on any ego that rises up in his ministry. I'm not asking you to give me more approval. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying for one another, we need to encourage each other because sometimes we just get tired and we've poured out and we just need somebody to pour in. So please hear me. Don't let us create a culture in a church here where we're like, you should be like Andrew and not care whether you get any credit, you know. But when your brother or sister's hurting and tired, to encourage and strengthen them and say, man, you've got gifts. We need you here. It makes a difference what you do. We see the sacrifices and we thank you for them. God sees them. Thank you. And so let me say that to you now. If you're wondering whether we notice or care, because we do. The last point I wanted to make is that the thing that Andrew teaches us is not just let's not seek the spotlight, but let's start bringing people to Jesus. Now, some of you have been bringing people to Jesus every day. You do it behind the scenes. There's people in this congregation I can look at and see, and you're constantly bringing people to Jesus. For others, that may not be the case, and you're going, oh no, here's another guilt-driven message, and I'm just going to leave here feeling bad about how I'm not, you know, George Whitefield or John Wesley, and that's not my point either. But Andrew encourages us to bring people to Jesus. The only time that Andrew shows up in the Gospels with any kind of prominence, he's bringing someone to Jesus. Isn't that neat? Isn't that fascinating? There are three times in the Gospel of John, and that's the only place where Andrew plays a leading role, and he's the only person talking. He's the only person acting, and he steps out of the background into the limelight for a minute with Jesus every single time he's bringing someone to Jesus. That's why he didn't have time to seek the spotlight, because he was busy bringing people to Jesus. The first time is in John 1. We already saw it. He started at home. And it says, as soon as he found Jesus, first thing he did, this is the way Andrew thinks, I found him. I found the one. I found it, the answer, my meaning, identity, new life, forgiveness, salvation. What should I do first? I need to tell somebody. I need to share it with somebody else. It's kind of like when we go to a great restaurant. You know, you go, some of us are like, this is so good. I just have to tell someone. Or I have to post it on Yelp. I need to do a review. You want to, if you see a movie that you enjoy, are you like, that was so good that I think I just will not tell anyone about it? There is no way I'm telling someone about that movie. It was so good. This creme brulee was so tasty. There's no way I could ever let this secret out. What do we naturally do when we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good? What do you want to do? What ought we to do? That's what evangelism is. It isn't like, well, I guess God's disappointed with me again. I haven't saved anybody today, so I better drum up my willpower and go pummel somebody with the four spiritual laws. No, bringing people to Jesus, Andrew shows us, is I found him. Could I introduce you to him? He's so good, I want to tell someone. You need to know him too. And then Andrew shows us we don't change people, Jesus does. He doesn't say, well, if you really want to find enlightenment and spiritual power, sit at my feet and become my disciple. What he does is, you need Jesus. The most help I can really give you is pointing you to Jesus and then passing on to you what I've seen Jesus do and heard him speak, which they would ultimately do. You see, he brought people to Jesus because he knew Jesus changes people. We don't. Sometimes you'll come to my office and you're like, you know, change me. I'm like, I can't. Okay, let's go to Jesus because I can't change you. I want to see you change. I want to help you change. But Jesus changes. And Jesus was so good to Andrew, the best, that he just wanted other people to know him. And all three times, John 1, John 6, and John 12, Andrew is busy bringing people to Jesus. In John 6, he brings the little boy with the fish and the loaves. And this tells us a lot about his personality of not only bringing people to Jesus, but serving diligently behind the scenes. Because while Jesus is asking these questions, hey, there's 5,000 people here. We're here in the middle of the wilderness. What should we do, guys? And Philip's like, well, I don't know. It's a lot of food. I don't think we can do it. And Andrew, meanwhile, brings the little boy. At least he does something. He's been out in the crowd with a plan working, going, okay, what do we have? Who's got food? And only one little boy comes forward and says, I've got 3 loaves and some fish. And Andrew brings him to Jesus because even though this is little, what this boy has to offer is small. He knows that Andrew knows that Jesus can use it big. See the faith there in Andrew? 5,000 people to feed. And Andrew's crazy enough to bring a boy with his lunch to Jesus. Again, it reveals what he knows about Jesus and what motivates him to bring others to him. God can take your life and change it. He's the only answer to every need and desire you have. And no matter what small thing you have to offer, it matters to Jesus, and he can multiply it and use it for his good and for his glory. So Andrew brings this little boy. It's a beautiful picture. And then in John 12, you have Andrew. It's hard to keep all these guys' names straight. Andrew brings the Greeks to Jesus. The Greeks. It says there was a group of Greeks who wanted, they said, we would see Jesus, or we want to see Jesus. And they come to Philip first, and Philip is kind of, again, like, I don't know, what do we do? Do you think Jesus would be interested in meeting these guys? And he talks with Andrew about it, and it's Andrew who says, of course, bring them to Jesus. Bring them, let's introduce them to Jesus. Jesus will be interested in meeting these guys. It might not sound very revolutionary what Andrew was doing, but he's the first. Not only is he the first to be called, here's another thing Andrew could brag about if he wanted to. Later in Acts, when Peter goes down and preaches to the Gentiles, to Cornelius, when Paul goes to the Gentile nations and he preaches, and the gospel is coming now beyond the borders of the Jews and the world's embracing it, Andrew could have said, you know, I was the first. I was the first. I saw it before you guys did. I knew that Jesus was a savior than more than just one nation of people. I knew he was a savior of the world. I could see it. The nations were going to flock to him. Everybody needs Jesus, not just my tribe. He could have said that, and he didn't. Because the faith and insight at that moment was pretty audacious for Andrew to say, here's some Gentiles. outsiders, dirty people, not a part of God's chosen people, and they want to see our rabbi, who we believe is the Messiah, God in the flesh. And I'm willing to venture that Jesus just might be willing to receive them. And it is then that Jesus doesn't say no, he just says, look, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it doesn't bear any fruit. And Jesus was implying, I have to be planted like a seed before this thing grows a bigger harvest far and wide. It's not time for that yet, but Andrew, what you see is true, what you desire is good and beautiful, and it's going to happen, but it's going to be on the other side of the cross. And he said, whoever follows me will be where I am. He must hate his life to keep it. If he loses it, he will find it. And Andrew saw that at the heart of it all was the cross. That Christ on the cross would earn and purchase and accomplish everything that he would give to those who believed in him. And all that Andrew loved about Jesus, he would owe to the cross of Jesus. And so, that's how he lived his life. There are amazing stories about how he served in other places. He became a minister, a missionary, really, in Scythia, which we don't know about, but it's in the Black Sea region now, and it's the early parts of Russia. That's how he becomes the patron saint. And these people were like barbarians. The barbarians in the world, in the ancient world, would write about the Scythians, and they would say, those guys are barbarians. They were like the lowest of the low. They were violent. They were like uncouth, no manners. They were it was a rough. And Andrew said, I'll go. Nobody will probably remember it. It won't make the headlines. They might not write books about it, but I'll go there. I want to bring those people to Jesus. He ends up in Greece, and that's where he dies. He's martyred, like the rest, for his faith. He's martyred because one of the kings in that area in Greece is mad that he has won his wife and his brother to Christ. And he sentences him to death. And like Peter, Andrew at his death asked to be crucified in a way different than his Lord because he felt so unworthy to die in the same way. And so they crucified him on an X-shaped cross. He was strapped to it and nailed to it. And I don't know if you know, but the flag of Scotland has an X on it known as St. Andrew's Cross. There was a famous battle that they believe St. Andrew helped them win against the English. So anything that helps the Scottish win against the English, they love. And that's how he became their patron saint. I'm not sure that story's true, but we do know it's true. He was crucified on an X-shaped cross. Even while he was dying and suffering, he was telling people about Jesus, bringing them to him not only in his life, but in his death. What a beautiful reminder of what we ought to be about, bringing people to Jesus, and the reason behind it, seeing in Jesus the good thing, the true thing, the beautiful thing that we are all seeking. And when we find it in Jesus, we want to share it, and we want to bring others to him. Whether we get credit for it or not, because that's not really the point. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and your spirit that is with us, and we pray that you'll take these things and apply them to our hearts, and I pray that you would make us a people that really do seek to serve without desiring attention or approval. Lord, that we would see the value of every place in the body and every different role that we have to play. Lord, that we would be people in a church who bring people to Jesus, and that what would motivate us to do that is the love and grace and mercy that we found in Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close our time together by standing and singing praises to our God.